Okay, so we're looking at parables and we're looking at the great banquet. Now, you might have noticed in that reading that before Jesus gave this parable about the great banquet, he was at a banquet. And one of the great things that made Jesus so listenable was that he was able to relate what he had to say to where his hearers were at. He never spoke in a way that they couldn't understand if they wanted to understand. We know that, in fact, many people didn't want to. One of the points of Jesus' teaching in parables was that if you don't want to understand, you won't understand. That's one of the points of parables. If you don't want to understand, you won't understand. Because parables are easy to understand if you want to understand them. But they keep the truth hidden from you if you don't want to understand. And one way that Jesus makes his teaching in parables so easy to understand, if you really want to understand what he's saying, is that he often used what was going on at the time to convey the truth he wanted to get across. And at the time that Jesus spoke this parable that we're looking at today, he was sitting at a feast. We didn't read the beginning of the chapter, but the beginning of the chapter begins this way. It begins, "Now it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread." So he's going to a house to participate in a feast. And he uses this occasion to tell a story about a great feast or a great banquet. And in fact, Jesus is on a bit of a roll here because he has already used this occasion to teach with an illustration of a feast or a banquet. He's already used that once already. Before we get to what we're looking at today, he's already used this as an illustration. You go to verses 7 and 8, and we see he's already told one parable. He told a parable to those who were invited when he noted that they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast." So he's already used this illustration, he's getting the most out of it, and he's now going to use it again. So he's now launching into something else that he wants to teach us, and he's again using this idea of a great feast to get his message across. So this is where he begins. "A certain man gave a great banquet and invited many." That's what Jesus is using here. He's telling a story about a great banquet. Now the question is, and you should always think about this when you read one of the parables, is why did Jesus tell this story? Why did he tell it on this particular occasion? What provoked him to launch into teaching something new? And he's already taught something at this banquet. I mean, how much can you squeeze out of one illustration? So what provoked him to talk about another parable about another banquet? Now, Jesus is here responding to a remark which was made by one of the guests. The previous verse goes, "Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" So Jesus is there sitting at the table. There's lots of people around the table, and this man's responding to Jesus. He's saying, "Oh, wouldn't it be great? Isn't it great to eat bread in the kingdom of God?" And that itself is a response to something Jesus has said at the conclusion of the previous parable, because at the conclusion of the previous parable, Jesus had said this. He had said, "When you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you." And then Jesus said, "For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Jesus said, think ahead to heaven. Think ahead to the resurrection of the just. And immediately after that, someone who's sitting at the table responds to Jesus and says, "Now when those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him," there's a man who said to him, "'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" Jesus is talking about sitting in heaven, being repaid in heaven, and this man responds and says, "Won't it be great to be able to sit at that great feast in heaven?" So this guest is obviously referring to the words that Jesus has just spoken about being rewarded at the resurrection of the just or in heaven. Jesus has just been talking about what to do when you go to a feast here upon earth. He goes on to talk about being rewarded in heaven. And then this guest put these two thoughts together and he comes out with this very pious sounding, oh, blessed are those who shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, it's really great to be at a feast here upon this earth. It's really great to be at this feast. But how much greater it will be to sit at that great feast in heaven. So, what about you? I mean, wouldn't you love to go to heaven? Wouldn't you love to go to heaven? The best feast you could go to on this earth can't compare to what it will be like in heaven. I mean, you think back, what, 5 weeks ago today, I think, was Christmas Day. You think about the big feast you had then. Nothing can compare to what it will be like in heaven. Wouldn't you love to go to heaven? Blessed be he, is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So Jesus told this parable about who's going to go to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven. Now today, apparently, you would get the impression that everyone goes to heaven. I don't think I go to a funeral today or read of the passing of some great person in society, but there isn't a tag on the end which says something like, he is now at peace, or she has joined the angels above, or he has entered into his reward. Everyone, you would get the impression today, goes to heaven. No one goes to hell, except perhaps those who don't agree with you when it comes to politics or the environment or something like that. But apart from those, everyone goes to heaven, don't they? And so Jesus told this parable to clear this matter up, because here was a man who sounded very religious. He spoke about the joys of heaven and how much he was looking forward to being in heaven. He was saying, look, I would rather be in heaven than sitting at this feast or any feast here upon this earth, no matter how great a feast that is. That's how much I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Okay, says Jesus, let me put it like this. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great banquet and invited many. Many were invited to this banquet. Now, the point of this parable is this, and you've really got to understand this. They were not only invited, they accepted. They were invited to this banquet and they accepted the invitation. You have to understand how banquets operated in those days. And it's not hard to understand because basically it's the same as today. If you arrange a banquet, you want to know how many are going to come. You can't prepare unless you know how many are going to be there. It's like a wedding feast that Jesus just talked about in the previous parable in this chapter. Like when you arrange a wedding, if you've ever arranged a wedding, you know what happens. You invite a certain number of guests. Those guests are required to RSVP by a certain date. It's rude not to RSVP because the one arranging the wedding has to know how many guests will be there. That's the way we do it now, and that's the way they did it back then. And we know from the way that this parable unfolds that it was done in this story that way that Jesus told. Guests were invited. They were told the day that the feast was going to be held. They were told to keep the date. Many, most, perhaps all of them, replied and said they were coming. And then nearer the date, a message was sent out so they were told the actual hour of the banquet once everything was ready. That's the story so far. Now the question is, whom is Jesus addressing in this parable? Well, he's obviously addressing people like this man, or it could have been a woman, who spoke about the glories of heaven and how much he or she was looking forward to being there. In other words, Jesus is addressing those who claim to have already accepted the invitation. Come to me, says Jesus. And these people say, yep, I'm going to come. Do you want to become a Christian, says the Bible? And this person says, you can count me in. Do you want to go to heaven? Of course I do, is the reply. All these have every intention of becoming Christians. They're not antagonistic. They either say, yeah, I'm a Christian, or I'm going to become a Christian. They certainly have every intention of getting to heaven. They've all said, we're going to come to the feast. But when the day came, the day when all these said they would be there, we read that he sent his servant at, what did I say, the time of the banquet, to those who were invited, saying, come, for all things are now ready. So the picture is this. The one who is holding this feast knows how many guests have said they will be there, and he's got everything ready. He's spent days, perhaps weeks, in preparing this feast, and now the time has come, and he sends his servant to tell them the hour has come. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. You think, well, what's going on here? I mean, you've organised the wedding and you've sent out the invitations and 100 have RSVP'd saying, we're coming, and you've paid tens of thousands of dollars for the venue and the, you know, the caterers and the orchestra and the flowers, the decorations. And the great day arrives and you said, okay, this is the day that you said you'd come. This is the time it will be on. But now they all, with one accord, begin to make excuses. And what lame excuses they are. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. You've got 99 other guests. You know, you won't miss me. Have me excused. Who buys a piece of ground without first seeing it? I know there were some up here in Brisbane when they bought parts of the Mud Islands in the middle of Moreton Bay without seeing it. But I think since then everyone goes to look at ground before they see it. So this person, he's already seen his piece of ground. He just wants to go and gloat over the purchase that he's already made. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Again, who buys 5 yoke of oxen? Who even buys 1 yoke of oxen without first testing them? Would you buy a car without first taking it for a road test? Luke, would you buy a car without taking it for a road test? You would not. You definitely would not. And in any case, once you have bought it, it's a bit late to be testing it, isn't it? You've already bought it. So what's happening here is this man is just so much in love with his new car, he's just got to take it out for a spin, even if it means missing out on what the wedding that he promised a few weeks before he would be attending. And still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, there's a surprise. I mean, when he said he would attend, did he not know he had a wife? Or that he would have a wife? They all, with one accord, began to make excuses. Notice that little expression there, with one accord. Their excuses are all different, but in the end, they were all doing exactly the same thing. All alike had said they would be coming. All alike talked so big about how much they wanted to be at the feast. But when their time came, all alike found something that was more important in their lives to be actually doing than following through on the commitment that they had made earlier on. So what's Jesus saying to you and me? Remember, he's responding to someone who has said he's really looking forward to heaven. He's responding to someone who, by his words at least, appears to be hanging on every word that Jesus speaks. But Jesus knows that words are cheap. Anyone can say they love hearing Jesus' words. Anyone can speak wonderful things about how much they are looking forward to heaven, but, and this is the point, but not all those who say they are looking forward to Jesus' heaven in the future are following Jesus now. Not all those who say they are looking forward to Jesus' heaven in the future are following Jesus now. And that's the point of this parable. What are you doing here and now? Are you following Jesus now? Are you following through on any commitment you might have made to follow Jesus? You might have made a commitment to follow Jesus in the past, but are you following through on that commitment now? Or are you making excuses as to why you are not following him now, but you surely intend to follow him in the future? Once this or that is out of the way, then you'll get round to following him. Now, what excuses are you using now to put off committing to following Christ now, right now? Okay, so I thought through, what are some of the excuses that I've heard, or some that I can imagine? I think I've heard most of these. I'm too young. Yes, it's great for older people. Someday I'll follow Christ too, but at the moment I'm too young. I'm having too much fun. To follow Jesus now would mean I would have to give up a lot of other things that I really enjoy doing. And I don't want to give them up at the moment, but later on I'll follow Jesus. I'm too in love. I've married a wife and I cannot come. I have a girlfriend. Spend all my time with her. When I'm tired of her, then I'll follow Jesus. Too much family. Family's important. You agree with that, don't you? Family's really important. And all my time and energy is devoted to my children. I don't have time to follow Jesus. Too busy. Sure, I'll get to church every now and again. I still get to church every now and again, but I'm far too busy to commit my life to Christ right now. But I will once I get through this load of work and get my promotion and so on. Too lazy. I just can't be bothered. Yes, I made a decision to follow Christ years ago, but I just can't be bothered now. Just too much time and energy. Too secure. I don't even need Jesus. I've got everything I want. My life's going well. I have all the security in life I need. I don't need Jesus. Too old. You know, once at the other end of your life, it was because you were too young. You've been through all these phases, putting off following Jesus, and now you say, well, I'm too old. Once I was too young, now I'm too old. You can probably think of some others. Maybe some you've used, some I've used at times too. So many excuses for not following the Lord right now, but always, I intend to, and I will follow Jesus when I have more time. And there's one I've missed out. Too late. There comes a time when it is too late to follow Jesus. When you're under the ground, it is too late to follow Jesus. Let's go back to the master of the feast. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry. Now we know who the persons are that are represented in this parable. The master of the house represents God. God is angry when we make excuses, putting off following Jesus. There's no reason not to follow Jesus. There was no reason that those invited guests didn't come to the feast. They had their excuses, but remember this, an excuse is not a reason. They had their excuses, but there was no reason they should not come. The The one who was putting on the banquet had said, come, for all things are now ready. See what he was saying? He's saying, look, you don't have to do a thing. I'm doing it all. Just come, just be there. I've done everything so that all you have to do is come to the feast. That's all you've got to do. Everything is now ready. And God gives you and me the same invitation. He says, come, for all things are ready. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has paid the penalty for all the sins of those who trust in him. You don't have to do a thing. You can't do a thing. You could never do enough. You could never pay for all your sins. Jesus has done it all. Salvation, forgiveness, acceptance with God, being adopted as children into God's family is all there for the taking. All things are now ready. All you have to do is to come. Come repenting of your sin. Come trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. Come committed to following Jesus from now on. Come put away the excuses you have for not following Jesus. Come putting nothing before your relationship with Jesus. Nothing. Not your age. Not your having fun. Not your being in love. Not your family. Not your work. Not your wealth. You just put your relationship with God through Jesus Christ before everything else and come, for all things are now ready. And what happened to those who made all these excuses? They had given the master of the banquet to understand that they would come. They had every intention of coming, but then they didn't come. Well, the master of the banquet still filled the banquet hall, only not with them. He says to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Bringing here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. All those that had been invited to come didn't care to come, at least not just them. They said, one day they might come. But you see, those that were invited weren't particularly hungry and they didn't really care if they came to the feast or not. So instead, the master sends out for those who are hungry, the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and they're going to come because they are hungry. And you will come when you are hungry. When you are hungry to have your sins forgiven, and when you're hungry to have a right relationship with God, and when you realize that you're not the spiritual giant that you thought you were, but rather you are poor and maimed and lame and blind in your spirit, and you need God and you need Christ, or you are in desperate need of the feast of Jesus' forgiveness and of Jesus' salvation. And these are the ones that come. And these are those that God seeks to come to his feast. They don't think they are worthy, but God seeks them out because they know they're not worthy. And then in the parable, the servant returns to his master and he says, Master, it is done as you commanded and still there is room. And then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Again, highways and hedges. These are those who they know they're not worthy. And they're hesitant to come to the feast. And because they're hesitant to come to the feast, the master says to the servant, go out and compel them to come in. It means persuade them. Persuade them that I really want them to come. God really wants. He seeks out those who are spiritually poor and maimed and lame and blind. He seeks out those who know they are spiritually destitute. These, more than all others, are welcome at God's feast. And you, if you are spiritually poor and maimed and lame and blind, are welcome at God's feast. But those who are all talk, but never get around to following Jesus, God wants none of those. Jesus' final words in this parable are this. He says, for I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. None of those who are all talk, but never get round to following Jesus, end up at the banquet. Jesus wants followers. He wants genuine followers who know that they need Jesus. Jesus does not want excuses.